Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. As we reach around the world, hello to our listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, England, all across North America, and the community of Detroit, Michigan, because one of Detroit's finest is going to be with us tonight. A little bit later on in the program, acclaimed actor and director Tom Sizemore will be with us, Dr. Day, to make it a very exciting evening tonight on a special Tuesday broadcast of Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Dr. Day?
Yes, Mr. Batson.
dead air. So what's going on with you?
Well, I was going to ask you, have you noticed a decrease in hummingbirds?
Well, you're supposed to take your hummingbird feeders down on Labor Day so they can head south. That's the cardinal rule. You put them up around tax time, April the 15th, and yes, we have had a reduction. There for a while, they were like mosquitoes. They were everywhere, but now it's very few. And the few stragglers that are hanging around, I hate to take the feeder down, but I think the next couple of days we're going to do so because it's starting to feel like fall out there, Dr. Day.
Yeah, and it's supposed to cool off this weekend, so that's probably a good idea. I'll probably take mine down this weekend.
Yeah, have you had a lot this summer?
Oh, yeah, an amazing amount.
Wow.
The feeder has hardly been empty.
Well, I know that the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, they're buzzing with life, not only Dr. Day and his spouse, but, of course, the wildlife that abounds around it. Now that you are HD and newly renovated, and I forgot to give you the proper intro, and I do apologize for that. Always prompt and regular on the show, and we always appreciate the efforts. We want to thank, who are we going to thank tonight? Oh, I know, Jerry Jones Tire Service Plus. They keep our animal truck going on the road. We're getting ready to start our school schedule on Friday at Clinton Prairie Elementary School in Frankfort, Indiana. With our animal family, we cannot wait, and they keep us going as we travel tens of thousands of miles through the school year. And they do make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for September 9th. Now it's 72 degrees in Naptown tonight.
Hmm.
It's pretty comfortable.
It is.
Now the sun will rise at 7:21 in the morning, and it sets tomorrow at 8:44. Now tonight, if you haven't noticed, we have a super harvest moon.
We had that last night, didn't we, Dr. Day, as well?
That's right. Tonight is a full moon, but yes, it was quite bright last night.
It was spectacular, I'm telling you. It was what an evening.
If you haven't seen the full moon, after the show, go out and have a look because it's quite spectacular.
Do we have to worry about werewolves or anything like that, do you think?
Oh, well, you should during a full moon.
Well, I guess so. I always thought that was just in the movies, but I've been told different.
All right, let's get on with the Wild World News.
And I do want to apologize for not giving you the proper cue at the start of your broadcast tonight.
Well, that's quite all right. We live through these things.
Yes, we do.
All right, now, new research suggests that there are as many blue whales living off the coast of California as there were before humans started hunting them to near extinction 110 years ago.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that is pretty cool, isn't it? Now, there are about 2,200 blue whales swimming in the Pacific Ocean from the equator up to Alaska.
Man, that is... I've never had the opportunity to see a whale in person, to be out on the open waters. Now, we recently had the guests from the Monterey Bay Aquarium. They were talking about tagging sharks in a little bitty boat waiting for great whites to come up and feed on a rather bloated whale.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Which I can't – I know that experience would be nothing like seeing the live whale, although you do have the anticipation of being eaten alive by great white sharks, but,
yeah,
you know, keeps life interesting.
But, yeah, that's pretty cool. The blue whales have rebounded.
Yeah, that's fantastic news.
That's good news for the blue whales, but we've got some bad news for the black and white whales. Yeah, the orcas.
Oh, my, what?
Well, with two new deaths this year and no new calves since 2012, the population of the endangered killer whales in Puget Sound continues to decline.
Oh.
Yeah, now according to a census by the Center for Whale Research, the number of whales in JK and L pods has dropped to 78, a level not seen since 1985. Now, since 1976, Ken Balcom of the Research Center has been observing the Puget Sound orcas and compiles annual census on them. But they say that the two missing whales, which are presumed to be dead since they haven't turned up in a while, are a 37-year-old female and a 13-year-old male, both members of the L pod.
Well,
they're not sure what the problem is, but they're working
well,
on
it. Maybe you should send your team up there, the Wild World News staff, and maybe they can determine what's going on, because that's something that needs to be done.
That's a good idea, and they would love to get out of here for a while.
Yeah, I think that'd be a fine idea. I'm not paying for it, but tell them
we'll
to go
see what
anyway.
We can do.
Okay.
All right, our next story gets our official seal of approval, Kona, Hawaii. An emergency room for endangered Hawaiian monk seals has officially opened on the Big Island. Helping the monk seals, the $3.2 million facility is named Kikeola.
Wow. I'd like to go there, too.
That's a good idea. We'll talk to the staff, and we'll just all go to Hawaii.
Well, let's do it in a couple months when it's become the Arctic Circle here in Indiana.
That's even a better idea.
Yeah.
All right. Now, rare white lion cub is joining the pride at Panama City Beach, Florida Panhandle Zoo. Yeah, a rare white lion.
Cool. Very cool.
The 13-year-old male cub named Husani joins the female lions there, Zuni and Star.
You know, many, many years ago, I had an opportunity to work with a white lion cub. And the only problem with that particular white lion is it changed colors. It ended up being normal. But as a youngster is white, I'm sure these will not do that. But, gosh, what an exquisite animal it was. My gosh, it's magnificent.
Yeah, well, it's only 13 weeks old, so we'll see.
Okay, well, just keep us up to date.
Well, our national symbol is doing well in Richmond, Virginia. A new survey has found 223 pairs of eagles nesting along the James River this year.
Wow.
From 205 in 2013. Now, the eagle pairs produced 313 eaglets.
Man, that's a lot of birds.
That is a lot of birds. That's a lot of fish eating there.
You know, and I believe now, correct me if I'm not wrong, the bald eagle has been taken off the endangered species list, at least in many parts of the country, because they have made an amazing rebound since the DDT was no longer allowable, because of course when the DDT toxins were used as an insecticide, that the eagle shells, when they would lay their eggs, were just too thin. The babies would
very
survive.
Fragile, yeah.
Yeah, but now they're just parts of Alaska. They're like pigeons. They're just everywhere.
Mosquitoes.
Yeah, mosquitoes. Big mosquitoes.
But yeah, we're glad to hear that they're doing well all across the United States.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Now the Japanese are blubbering after a whaling shutdown. Listen to this story. Japan is seeking international support for its plans to hunt whales in the Antarctic Ocean next year by scaling down the whaling research program the UN top court rejected this year.
Hmm.
Yeah, now whaling for research purposes is exempt from the 1986 international ban on commercial whaling, and Japan has conducted hunts on that basis. But in March, the International Court of Justice ruled that the Antarctic program wasn't scientific as Japan had claimed.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they ordered them to stop.
Good for them.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry.
So sorry.
yeah. Yeah, but that's really good news for them.
And I do apologize to our Japanese listeners that we were not intending to make light of
light, right,
your,
yeah, but
your,
yeah. Well, let's just think about this, and then we'll all realize that you should not be whaling.
No.
And you don't lie to the UN top court.
But they still should watch out for Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah. Still.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we've got a black tie event at the Roosevelt Park Zoo in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Now, officials have scheduled a welcome home event Thursday for 8 African penguins that were displaced following a massive flood that hit the city in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the penguins were being cared for at zoos in Minnesota while the damaged exhibit was rebuilt.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so if you would like to attend this event, rent a tux and fill your pockets with smelt.
You know, who might attend that event, I wasn't even thinking of this, and you may have some thoughts on it, is Dave Davies, lead guitar player for the Superband Kinks.
Well, you know, I don't wear a tux very often, but I've always got pockets of smelt.
We once again apologize.
Well, it's always nice to hear from Dave.
It's always nice. He has such great analogies. So.
And didn't you tell me that Dave has a new project coming out and there's a possibility he might be back on the show?
He does have a new album coming out, and we are working on that. We hope to have him back on the show. He has been on before, so he's such a wonderful gentleman. And hopefully he'll return to the show.
Yes, and hopefully Dave will be back.
And he does have a wonderful sense of humor, no matter what Ray says, his brother. But
yeah, that's right.
Okay, I apologize.
You can't believe everything Ray says.
No, you can't.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
All right, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources says Iowa's pheasant population has rebounded with the latest annual count of the birds showing the highest numbers since 2008.
Yay.
Quite beautiful birds, quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
That sounds
doing really well.
Yeah.
Now, here's a story close to your heart. Flagstaff, Arizona. Local elementary school students are acting as helpers in the study of the local monarch butterfly population.
Hmm.
Students always educating the students.
That's fantastic. I mean, gosh, what a fantastic program.
Yeah, now students at the Marshall Elementary School are tracking the migration patterns of the butterflies in the Buffalo Park area. Now, the park has been designated as a hot spot for monarch butterfly activity by the Phoenix-based Southwest Monarch Study.
We should hang on to that story, Dr. Day, and we will contact them, and maybe we can have a few or a couple of the youngsters from that school come on the show and explain about their work. I think people would just absolutely love it.
I agree. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we will do that. Just hang on to that story, and we'll get that put together.
Okay.
All
now,
right.
For our listeners, if you want to help the monarch butterfly population, here's how you can do that. If you have any milkweed plants growing in your yard, please leave them just for the monarchs. That's the only thing that they eat, and it would help the population greatly if you just leave a few of those milkweed plants growing around your yard.
Yeah, I love milkweed plants. I remember as a youngster, you don't see them. What? Now, why would that be? I don't seem to see them as often as we did when we were.
Well, they're weeds, and you know, the way people tend to the yards these days.
Well, that's true.
They remove the weeds, and it's unfortunate for the monarchs, so stop doing that.
Well, I'm going to go check our acreage that we have here. We leave basically wild for the animals and the insects and reptiles and so forth. And I want to see how many milkweeds we can find, because if I can't find enough, I'm going to plant some.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And your area out there is perfect for monarchs.
Yes, it is.
All right, the Rangers in Jensen, Utah are missing a humerus bone, and they don't find it funny. Rangers are searching for leads after someone damaged a fossil at Dinosaur National Monument along the Utah-Colorado line.
I read about that.
And now the National Park Service says a ranger leading a guided tour discovered damage to the fossilized humerus bone of a sauropod dinosaur and removed part of the bone. You don't do that.
No, you don't.
Not in one of our national monuments.
Isn't there a reward out at this time to catch the culprit?
Yes, there is, and we hope that they do.
Do you know how much that reward? I know it's several thousand dollars.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the amount is, and I'm sure as this goes along, it'll probably get a little larger.
Yeah, that's such a public neutering would be good for that.
Yeah. Idea.
You know, just a thought. It might deter
All right,
anyone
now, did
else.
You hear of the massive dinosaur skeleton discovered in Argentina?
I did. Tell us more.
Well, apparently it stood two stories high at the shoulder. Its tail was almost as long as a city bus.
My God.
And it tipped the scales at 65 tons, which is heavier than a fully loaded semi-double-clutching tractor trailer truck.
What a great analogy.
Yeah, now its name is Dreadnoughtus serrani, mm-hmm. one of the largest massive land animals of all time.
Mm.
Now, other huge dinosaurs are known due to a few bone fragments. But
yes.
Recently unearthed remains of the Dreadnoughtus are so complete and beautifully preserved that they will provide unprecedented insight into how the giant dinosaurs were related to one another and how fast they grew and how they kind of moved themselves around.
Well.
So this is a great discovery, and everybody's pretty excited about it.
Keep us up to date on that.
We will, as they unearth this creature, we'll let our listeners know what's going on.
Excuse me, I missed it, but where was this discovered at?
In Argentina.
Well, I'm thinking road trip.
We've got a lot of traveling to do this year.
Yes, we do, between the butterflies and, oh, never mind. But, yeah.
All right, well, tonight I decided, since the weather being as it is, we do our Wild World Facts on the Weather.
Oh, good.
Okay, now the sound of thunder is produced by rapidly heated air surrounding lightning, which
mm-hmm.
expands faster than the speed of sound. So,
wow.
Without lightning, we wouldn't have thunder.
That's true.
Now, the U.S. averages around 1,200 tornadoes every year, more than any other country in the world.
How many?
1,200 tornadoes each year.
My gosh. I hate them. Can I honestly say I hate something on this show?
Sure, yeah.
I hate tornadoes. I mean, since the Wizard of Oz, and they've caused such devastation, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
I've had a few encounters with tornadoes myself, and I'm not really fond of them either.
I can remember my father being on a golf course, and a small one ran through the golf course, and they had to lay down in a creek as it passed over, and they watched trees destroyed. Luckily, there wasn't any major damage, but yeah, I can remember opening a door one time at home, and the tornado must have been just overhead because it literally sucked the glass right out of the door as I opened it. In fact, we should start a Facebook page, People That Hate Tornadoes.
Why I hate tornadoes.
Yeah, my gosh.
Yeah,
I bet a lot of those folks would be from either Oklahoma or Kansas.
That would be my guess, too.
Yeah.
All right, now the largest hailstone ever recorded weighed 2.25 pounds.
2.25 pounds.
My God. 2 pounds, 4 ounces. And it landed in Bangladesh on April 14th, 1986. Luckily, mm-hmm. It didn't hit anyone.
Well.
Now, wait, before you go to bed tonight, I want you to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Americans throw away 25 million plastic bottles every hour.
Hour?
Hour.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And the plastic in the I've heard that if you store your water bottle in the sun it's toxic. I have heard that. Is that true?
As far as we know, yes, that is true.
I have to announce we have a special guest on the line as we speak. Acclaimed actor Tom Sizemore is with us. Good evening, Tom. Well, he was with us. Go ahead.
Okay, that was it. Yeah, Americans throw away 25 million plastic bottles every hour, which is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
And I think we need to do something about that.
I agree.
Contact Carlos Santana.
Yes, we should.
He can help you along with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we've got a couple of birthdays we're celebrating.
Okay.
Do you want to play Who's Gotten Older in the Celebrity World?
Well, we could play that. Do we have Mr. Sizemore on the line? We still don't. Go ahead.
All right. Now, I want you to tell me how old rock singer-musician Roger Waters of Pink Floyd is.
63.
Oh, well, Roger would be happy about that. Roger actually turned 71 this week.
Oh, God. I wasn't even close. My God. Go ahead.
All right. Now, a guest of Blog Talk Radio, one of our favorite friends.
Yes.
Singer Dee Dee Sharp has a birthday today.
Oh, she does. We love
Dee
Dee.
Yes, she does. Now, we love Dee Dee. She was a great guest.
Mm-hmm.
And what a voice.
Yes.
Would you like to guess how old Dee Dee is today? And please be nice.
I don't want to touch it. I don't want to.
Well, Dee Dee actually turned 69 today.
Oh, okay. Well, that's younger than I thought. So I would yes. Well, God
we'll
love her.
Send off a happy birthday to her.
Absolutely.
Now, we are looking at a super harvest moon out there, and as we always warn our listeners during a full moon, there are more animal attacks during a full moon than any other time of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And at night, it's enormous, so if any of your creatures are acting a little strange, leave them alone.
Yes.
And that's the Wild World News for September 9th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We appreciate his efforts that he puts in each week to make this broadcast possible. And they do. We want to thank, before we get into this, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. If you've never been west of the Rockies, you need to head that way. It's absolutely fantastic. Right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. You'll have wildlife in your own backyard. It is absolutely amazing. And they do make it possible for Wild World to be on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. Our guest tonight, Clay Jackson. Gosh, we love it. Great films he's been a part of, Natural Born Killers, Saving Private Ryan. He's got a brand new project, and I know he's one happy man tonight because the Detroit Lions annihilated the New York Jets on the program tonight. Tom Sizemore. Good evening, Tom.
Hey, Larry. How are you?
We're fantastic. This is a euphoric moment.
Oh, wow. Really?
Absolutely, man.
I was in the hall on the watchtower just minutes ago, about 20 minutes ago when I was driving my car.
Oh, well.
Oh, long. That was the song.
I had to come up with the coolest song we could find for one of our greatest guests we've ever had. We've had some dandies. We've had some wonderful rock stars, Dave Davies from the Kinks and Al Jardine from the Beach Boys. But
really?
We hit a home run tonight when you agreed to come on our show because we're so excited. And before we go any further,
sure.
I want to thank you for all the hours of entertainment that you have given us over these few years, the fantastic movies that you've taken part in, and I know you got a dandy coming up with your brother in Detroit.
Oh, I want to thank you for those kind words. It was my pleasure bringing you that entertainment, and it's going to be my pleasure bringing you this movie, An Honest Thief, that I actually think is one of the best scripts I've read. You know, I am a bit biased. My brother wrote it, but it's a great script, and it's just terrific. And I really, thanks a lot for those kind words. It means a lot to me. You know, I've had some troubles and stuff, but I've been healthy for a while now, and I'm getting back to work, and it's just great.
I think you look fantastic. I've seen some of the photographs of you and your new friend in Facebook. Yeah, man. And
that's
I have to tell you,
Larry, between you and me, that's not me. That's my, I'm kidding. That's me.
Now, I know you have to be one happy person tonight, because what did those Detroit Lions do to the New York Giants?
They kicked they kicked their butts is what they did to them. let's be honest, the Giants, ever since Manningham made that catch in the Super Bowl, it's been downhill.
Guys show.
I'm a Giant fan too. I like Eli, and I like their head coach.
You get through, you can ask a question.
That they got the spanking last night. The Lions are good, man. They're good. Stafford's matured.
Well, they deserve it. The community of Detroit deserves that. Are you also a baseball fan?
I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm a huge Pistons fan. I'm a huge Red Wing fan, and I'm a Detroit guy. I was born and raised there. I spent my first 17 years of life there, and I grew up with Al Kaline and Greg Landry, Gordie Howe, you know, Dave Bing, and some of the struggling Piston teams. And the Lions have been struggling since 1954.
Oh,
I know. This team might make the playoffs.
You know, I think you're right. And I have to tell you, every time they play the Packers, I am screaming for those Detroit Lions.
You don't like the Packers?
My sister's from up there, and she's, you know.
You don't like your sister? You don't like your sister? I'm kidding.
We don't talk. we don't talk.
I don't like the Packers at all. I like the Vikings less. I like the Packers. I like Aaron Rodgers, you know, and I liked Brett Favre until he started becoming a photographer. I like Favre too, but I don't like the Vikings at all. But I like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a great, you know, he's obviously a great quarterback. But I'm a diehard Lion fan, and we seem like we got the pieces this year. you know, if Sue can start and not get suspended and Stafford not throw a bunch of interceptions, we can win some games.
Well, I think that Stafford's coming around. I mean, I am from Indiana, so we've been a Colts fan.
I hate Indiana. I'm sorry.
Oh, I can imagine.
I'm from Michigan. You guys beat our butts for basketball all the time.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You had great teams forever with Bobby Knight and Larry Bird. I mean, Indiana's I don't hate Indiana, but I'm not a big Hoosier fan, to tell you the truth. But I'm a big Indiana State fan. I'm a huge Indiana State fan, and they've flourished ever since Larry graduated.
Well, do you know Larry Bird?
I've met Mr. Bird. He's a very taciturn man.
He is something.
You know what he said to me?
What
did
he say? Who
are you? I said, Mr. Bird, hi. And he went, who are you? And then he turned into some young guy. He went, who's this? Like I was a piece of meat. And he went, that's Tom Sizemore. He went, who are you, Tom?
Who?
I was like, fuck it. He said, I wanted to just disappear. Who are you, Tom? I went, I'm nobody. And he went, that's what I thought. And he can't laugh.
Well, you equally hate the Indiana Pacers, then, I assume.
Oh, I don't hate the Pacers. I don't like them very much. I never liked Reggie Miller all that much because I was a Knicks fan. You know,
well, yeah.
But Reggie was the great Knick killer. I mean,
wasn't he though?
Oh God, he was. He was. You know, as much as I even one of those players you love to hate, but you couldn't take your eyes off him.
What a shot!
Remember that? Seven. They're down by seven.
Mm-hmm.
With like 37 seconds to go, and they won the game.
Yeah.
And he made that. After he made the 1-3, they were down by two, and he got the inbounds pass, knocked it away, and dribbled back at a 3-point line and drained it, and then turned to Spike Lee and put the choke sign up. That was.
Yeah.
Reggie was an asshole.
Yeah, but he was good at it, though. That's what she.
He was. He was one of the great assholes of all time.
He was. I mean, it was just like.
Oh, even his sister and father have said, you know, Cheryl Miller said, my brother's an asshole. I don't know what to tell you.
You don't hear that analogy on TNT.
Hey, this patient team you have now, is Paul George going to recover from this injury? I know it's a devastating injury, but is he going to recover?
You know, I think there's too much money involved. I think that,
he has to recover.
No, he wants
he
to
has
come
to recover.
Back. You know, and
I
have to tell you.
I'm a big Paul George fan. I think he plays with great, you know, respect for the game, shows great respect for the game, plays with, you know, a certain kind of dignity, and one of the great young stars in the NBA. I do like that team. I like that Pacers team. I think they play hard. And if Hibbert hadn't just lost his place, I mean, I don't think it's Hibbert's fault. I just think he lost his place. He forgot how to, I don't think he forgot how to play. He's gotten older. He just isn't as good.
Well, and we had on one of the analysis radio guys, Mark Monteith, on his show. We were talking about Roy, and he said he just gets down on himself so much, and it's just a psychological.
You can see him. I bet that's true because you can see in the games he gets down on himself during the game.
Yeah.
If he gets off to a slow start, he's gonna have a bad game. That's what I observed in this last season especially.
Oh well, it seems like that fella should get at least 12 rebounds a game.
Not without any effort. There was a couple playoff games where he had 2 points and 3 rebounds and played 38 minutes. I mean, that's just not going to work.
No,
they've given him every opportunity. It's a shame. I don't think it's on purpose. Of course, I think he's gotten older.
Yeah.
I mean, he can never really jump, and now he can't jump at all. He gets rebounded on tiptoes.
And we wouldn't be too surprised.
I'm a big sports fan, Larry. You can tell I'm a big sports fan. I'm a big sports fan. I love sports.
Do you go watch the Red Wings?
Of course. That's what we hang our hat on in Detroit is the Red Wings. They've been great for a long time now. Yeah, they've been great for a long time.
And for the people that have never ever seen a hockey game in person, television absolutely does it no justice.
No justice. It's a different game in person. And I hazard to say, haven't been to Ranger games and LA Kings games. The Washington hockey game in Detroit is a different experience, simply because the fans are such rabid fans. And then, of course, when they throw the alligators out there on the ice, it's just great. And it was one of my great memories as a kid, was going to Olympia Stadium and watching Gordie Howe near the end of his career, Alex Del Vecchio and Mickey Redmond. Yeah, it was great. And those Piston teams were great, too, with Bob Lanier and Dave Bingham. I'm kidding. They weren't very good.
Well, Bob Lanier, you talk about somebody that's an A-bud. That's the guy right there. I mean,
he was a great player, but he couldn't even get the – he couldn't throw the Pistons around. They were so bad. The Pistons didn't turn around until they really got – until Isaiah came there, and they didn't turn around completely until that draft when they got Sally and Rodman. That's when they became a great team.
Yeah. Well, they were absolutely spectacular. I mean, God Almighty, I'm glad you love it. We do a lot of promotion. We have animals. I do animal programs all over the country. We do a lot of promotions for. You might remember this old program, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Of course, I remember it. I remember what was the host's name again?
Jim Fowler and Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins. That's who I remember.
Yeah.
I remember Marlon Perkins. It was on Saturday afternoons.
It could have been, and we were at Cobo Hall, and they had a bunch of insurance Dudleys in there, and we took some animals, and that was one of my first experiences.
Is this recently you've been to Cobo Hall?
It's been a while. It's been about, I'm thinking about 12. I've been to Detroit doing PR work for Wild Kingdom three times, once downtown, and then we hit the suburbs, and I can't even think. All I can remember is a big shopping mall in the suburbs of Detroit. Really, really.
We were probably in Royal Oak. Royal Oak's a nice suburb.
Yes.
But have you been to Detroit recently? You know, it's terrible. It's been bad there. And my family's still back there. They're in the outer suburbs. But I grew up in the city, and another reason I wanted to do this movie, and I'm a thief, is it takes place in Detroit, and it's based on two of my uncles. And I mean, I think Detroiters, and I think the federal government too, needs to rally around Detroit, because if Detroit's allowed to just fall and disappear, you know, they're banging. Of course, you know what's going on there. I mean, it's just, I was there just a year ago, and it's bad. It's really bad. And that mayor didn't do us any good. What was his name?
Oh, yeah.
Kwame, the pimp mayor. Kwame Kirkpatrick, mayor / pimp.
I have to tell you, when the first time I went into Detroit, the PR person from Wild King, from Mutual of Omaha, had booked us into a room, because it's not easy to find motel rooms that accommodate animals, too, or allow us park our truck there by our room. And I called early because we were running a little behind, and they went ahead and paid for the room, and we had reservations. And the guy said, "No matter what time you come in," I couldn't hardly understand his English. Then when we pulled up the motel, one room door was painted red, one was painted blue, one was painted green. So it was.
They just didn't have the money to finish that restoration, did they?
It was.
We should laugh. I should laugh at that. I want Detroit to come back. You know.
Oh, they should.
What were you going to say? Let's put it this way: what?
There's we met so many nice folks there.
Oh yeah, Detroit. When I grew up, it was a wonderful city. Hardworking people. I mean, the auto industry was flourishing. I had a wonderful childhood. It was a great city to be a kid in. It was a great city to live in. And I graduated from high school in '79, and I left Detroit in '82 to go to graduate school. And I've been back, of course, a lot since. And it's just really, really sad what's happened. And you know, the auto industry leaving because of NAFTA, and it's just. I'm not sure how they're going to bounce back, but I think America – I don't know that we can let a major city like Detroit just disappear into the mist.
No.
I think it's bad for the whole country, you know?
No. Needless to say, you probably buy an American-made automobile, I assume.
Oh, I'm an American. I mean, I'm an American. Of course, I'm an American. I drive a Mustang. It's an American-made
there
automobile.
There you go, man.
And, you know, both my grandfathers worked in the auto industry. My Grandpa Sizemore worked at General Motors, and my Grandpa Chenault, my mother's maiden name was Chenault, worked at Ford Motor Company, and they were laborers, and so, you know, busy and hardworking people like my grandfathers and nice people, and it's just had fallen on hard times. And I'm hoping that there's a little bit I can do doing the movie there, bringing some work there. You know, we're going to hire all Detroit. We're going to hire locally. You know, Detroit has not a flourishing film industry, but it has a film industry, film workers there, because they give a tax break to people that make movies there. And we're going to do all Detroit hires, and you know, for 5 weeks we'll be, you know, helping to kick some money in there.
Oh man.
And that's one of the reasons I want to do the movie too, is I want to be part of Detroit's restoration, what little I can do.
Well, God bless you, because I think it's an outstanding. Because I want to tell this audience right now, because I've had a little bit of experience, there is nothing more difficult to do than to make a movie.
It's hard. This is the first movie I've ever produced, and I'm telling you, I'm already exhausted, and we haven't even started hiring people yet. But it is hard. Larry, you're right. It's hard.
Oh my
God. I kind of
prefer
just being an actor. Actors just get hired when everything is done and you're ready to go, ready to shoot.
Yeah.
So this prep work is just, geez Louise, let me tell you, it's hard. But it's been worth it so far. I'm having a great time. I'm a little tired, but we're gonna we're cool. You know, we have half the money, and we get the other half the money on Indiegogo. I believe we're gonna get it, and we're gonna make the movie.
You are gonna get it. Your spirit is too good not to have this happen. Detroit deserves it too much, and
I agree with you. I think your thoughts are creative, and your heart's in the right place, and you're doing something for the right reasons, and good things happen.
You have the passion, and that's what's so important, as you know. I know you've worked on movies in the past. You're going, oh, this thing, oh my God, when are we going to be done?
Well, just about every movie, even if they're great. You know, like Saving Private Ryan was a great experience, but let me tell you, at the end of that movie, everyone was like, when are we going to be out of this jungle, or out of Ireland? I mean, when are we going to be out of the dirt? It was tough, man. You know, that stuff on the beach, that stuff was hard. I mean, let me tell you something, it was hard. I can only imagine how hard it was when it was actually happening. But it was a difficult shoot. And every movie's difficult. They're hard to do. You know, they're hard to do.
Well, I will bet that the people behind the effects, the pyrotechnics for Saving Private Ryan, prayed every take that you guys would get the line.
Let me tell you something. Those guys made it. The first day of that movie, Tom Hanks and I, this was the first shot of the movie, was when Hanks comes out of the water. This was the first shot. It was out of sequence. Hanks comes out of the water, and he goes, Sergeant Horvath, get your men off the beach. And I go, hey, you guys. Okay, the first shot was just Tom coming out of the water, and then the second shot was me over there. And I go, hey, you guys, get on my ass and follow me. But the first thing Steven said was he came down to Tom and I, and we're standing on the beach, right? And he goes, all right, get in the water, you guys. Get in the water. And so we go out in the water, and we have all these warming things on. As we get in, because Tom said it's going to be cold, and I said, no, it's not. We got these things on, Tom. And he said, Sizemore, trust me, Tom. It's not going to be pleasant. And I went, oh, you're tripping. We got in that water, and I wanted to die. You know, we got a dunk our heads. And then Tom had to stay in the water. I just had to be soaking wet, so I got out of the water. And then I got out of the water, and they have the camera already set for Tom. And then he went, we're rolling, and it sounded like the end of the world all of a sudden. And Stephen prepped us for it. He said, it's going to be loud. That's all he said. But when it was over, that first take, I couldn't hear anything. And then it was just ringing in my ears. I had to – it was listen, I'm no tough guy. I mean, people think I'm a tough guy. I know I had my problems and stuff, but I'm good now. But after that first take, I did have this feeling. I thought to myself, is this the best idea I've ever had? This may not be the best idea I ever had, because I can't hear and I'm froze. And we just started. But it turned out, I mean, it was a great experience, and it's one of the great war movies of all time.
Did you have a chance to view it with veterans that actually experienced that?
Can you imagine? Well, there were two men on the set the first week. There were two guys who were both in their 90s. And after the first couple days, we went over to – Tom was talking to him frequently, but Hanks and I, myself, and Ed Burns, and Giovanni Ribisi, Jeremy Davies, and Dennis Marino all went over to meet them. And the one gentleman said, this is as close as it can get, I guess, to the real thing. And he was on Omaha Beach, that gentleman was. And he was one of the guys who, he didn't knock the sniper down. Those six guys, I don't think, are alive anymore. But he was one of the first guys over that thing there. And he said, you know, they got over the hill there, that little mountain, got up the hill and got behind the Germans. And those guys were just, they really were inspiring and made me want to reach up, you know.
Oh, I get
it. You know, those guys, those were great Americans.
Absolutely. Those soldiers.
Up on that beach, those guys were in that water, in those Higgins boats. They were in those boats for 3 nights before they hit the beach.
Mm.
So they were in those boats for 76 hours before they hit the beach.
And you guys did such a great job of capturing the moments. I mean, it was hard to watch. It was, and that means you did your job. I mean, it was hard to watch. And the acting
was intense. Tom was great in the movie. All the actors were great, but I thought Tom was especially wonderful in the movie. I still think it was Hanks' greatest performance. Although I let the pirate movie this past year, I thought that performance was wonderful. Did you see that movie?
No. What?
You
didn't
see it? You should. Mr. Phillips. Is that what it's called? It's Captain Phillips. The pirates took the boat. They took him hostage. Yeah, I thought that rivaled Tom's performance in Saving Private Ryan. He's always great, but I still think his performance in Saving Private Ryan was just perfect. I mean, it was just perfect. He was beautiful in that movie. That line he says to Matt Damon, when he says, earn this, still makes me cry.
You know, that's saying something. Because when we worked on a film, that you see the intricacies of each shot being filmed. People have no idea how a movie's actually made. The camera like 3 feet from 3 feet from the actors. It's all cut up, and God bless the editors, because they're the ones, besides the terrific acting, directing, but the editor is the one.
Yep. The men that cut it together, you know, and Steven is right there with his editors, as is most of the great directors. Steven knew that movie. When we got there, he told us, this was something, this is a little, not trivia, but a little nice little thing to know. When we got there the first day before we went to boot camp, he said to us, I've already shot it, cut it, scored it, and I'm ready to put it in the theaters. I just want you guys to know what you're doing. Don't deviate from this script unless we discuss it. And let's just make this. And he did. He had every. I mean, he was like a machine. He knew exactly what. This shot's this shot. This shot's that shot. I mean, bam, bam, bam. We shot the whole movie. It's 2 hours and change. We shot it in 58 days, which is a remarkably short amount of time given the content.
That's nothing. That's a blink, especially after he made Jaws.
It took him like a year and a half to make that, didn't it? he went over budget. I mean, the shark died, and the shark stopped working. And you know what else happened in that movie? The shark stopped working. So he didn't use the shark, which made them go to the suggesting the shark. But then he didn't realize this. Steven told the story. When he was shooting Jaws, he didn't realize that they were shooting on the ocean. He knew that, but he didn't realize that the sun would change its angle and that the color behind the actor would be different because the water would be a different color.
Yeah.
So after the first couple of days, they were watching dailies, and he went, "What is going on here? It's completely different."
I bet the poor lighting people got the dirtiest look.
But he went over. He was movie. I think it was scheduled for like to be like 40 days, and they went 110.
Oh my God!
Something like that. Like they went twice the amount of time, and. It turned out to be a great movie.
And
of course made him a big star. I mean, Mr. Spielberg is as good as it gets, you know. He's a great director. He trips me out because he's made so many great movies, and every time he makes a movie, it seems like he's just making his first great movie again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's maintained his level of excellence and his passion, which,
he's just a big kid.
Yeah, he is a big kid. He eats Twinkies.
Really?
Yeah, he would smoke a cigar in the morning, and then for his snack after lunch, he'd have a Twinkie and a glass of milk.
Oh, I bet he was devastated when they closed the Twinkie factory there for a while. You know, they're made here in Indiana.
He ate snowballs, too. He ate snowballs, too.
They shut them down, too.
Oh, my God.
I miss Clark Bars. What happened to Clark Bars?
Mm. So was Private Ryan your
business? They must shut them down.
Yeah, yeah.
They begin Fifth Avenue, they think.
Well, see, that's what Detroit
anyway,
needs to do. They need to make a Clark Bar factory.
A Clark Bar factory?
Yes.
We've got to do something. Detroit's got to do something. I don't know what they got to do, but somehow we got to get some industry in there so people can get back to work.
Well, an honest thief's going to be a good start, I'm going to tell you right now, because I think you ought to be thinking about maybe, I don't want to jinx it, I'm not even going to say that, but it's going to...
Honest thieves, too?
Yeah, I think, well, let's hope.
That's also too, because my brother wrote the ending to, you know, my brother's an attorney, he's not a screenwriter, but I gave him some screenplays to read. He's a very talented writer,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote just a great screenplay. It took him 4 years. We worked on it together for 4 years, and I was astonished at the first draft that he, I gave him Magnolia to read, and I gave
mm-hmm.
him Saved by Ryan. I gave him those two screenplays. I said, this is the format, and this is how screenplays are, you know, exterior is EXT means exterior, and he's a very bright kid, a very bright man, excuse me. And the first draft was just so terrific. And I said, well, this is it. We got it done. And that was 3 years ago. And he said, I think I can make it better. And we've had it done, a shooting script for like a year. But he just it really is a great script. And it really is. It's commercial. It's about these two thieves, but it has I said, we got to have a car chase in here. We got to have a shootout. You know, to hit those commercial things that people expect to see in a heist movie. And he just seamlessly put them in there. It's just a really a great script with great characters in it. You know, Danny Trejo is playing one of the lead parts. And I think Danny's a great actor, and we're hoping to get a couple other great actors right now.
You will.
Malik Barnhart, who's a great young black actor, who I did a movie with 5/13, myself, and Danny Trejo, and great parts.
Wasn't there talk about Sally Kellerman doing it, too?
Oh, yeah, Sally, I'm sorry, Sally's in the movie, too. She's my buddy.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to forget her, but Sally's in the movie, too, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, we want to have her on the show.
She's a great lady. She's really a great lady.
Oh, my God. That's, that
she's still hot. She's still hot lips to me. She's still hot lips to me.
I'm telling
she's still
you.
Hot.
Oh, I'll bet. My God, man, this is
I saw her like 6 months ago. Yeah, she looked great.
It sounds like a terrific project. You know, that and the title, I hate to say it, and you probably, but I have met a lot of honest thieves.
You have? Because we got to get the title because my uncles, it's based on my uncles, and my uncles were both... You know, they were both small-time thieves.
Mm-hmm.
They had issues. I mean, they were poor and whatever. But Aaron remembers one of my uncles saying that he was a thief long-standing,
mm-hmm.
but that never told had never lied about anything important in his life except that he wasn't
mm-hmm.
there.
No.
I said, "What do you mean?" He said he wasn't there. He goes, "Well, and the police would talk to him like, 'Did you do this crime?'" And He's the one who said, you know, I'm an honest thief. I don't remember him saying that. My brother does.
No.
And my brother remembered that, and that's where the title came from. It was my Uncle Carl, my dad's eldest brother.
Yeah.
And when they both passed away, it was Keith and Carl, my dad's
mm-hmm.
youngest brother and my dad's oldest brother.
Mm-hmm.
When Keith passed, and it was like 5 years later, he passed in 2000. About 8 years later, like 2008, 2009, I was thinking about my uncles, and I told my brother, wouldn't it be cool to make them, because they were very funny, and I said, wouldn't it be cool to make write a movie about them, and Aaron came up with the idea, thing.
How was it for your brother to first show you the first draft of a script? It'd be kind of like Paul McCartney's brother writing a song and presenting it to him.
My brother's an egomaniac. He thinks he's smarter than me. He probably thinks he's a better actor than me. So when he showed it, he went to U of M Law School and he graduated number one in his class or number two or some shit like that. So when he gave it to me, he said, "It doesn't get any better than this, champ." I was like, "Wow." It hasn't been a real harmonious. It has been harmonious, but it's. I've had my moments with them when I've said, you know what, I think that this is could be better. When you're wrong, but I'll look at it.
Well,
that's what she usually says to my notes. What are all these notes for, Tom? I went, well, these are just like things I think you could maybe tighten this up. You know, now you're wrong, but I'll try to. I'll look at it.
No,
we're very close. He's only 18 minutes younger than me, and he heeded some of my advice, and some of it he ignored, and what we ended up with is a great, great, great script.
Oh my gosh! You want to hear a quick thief story? Are you in a big hurry?
Yeah.
I have a friend.
Am I what?
Are you in a big hurry?
No, I'm not in a hurry at all. I'm sitting in my office.
Oh, fantastic. I've got a friend who's a detective here in Indiana, and he was going to Indianapolis to investigate a murder. And he was talking to one of the robbery detectives about a case that they were working on. And this fella gets up one morning, he goes out to his truck, and he lives in a very well-to-do area in northern Indianapolis.
Right.
And he climbs in his SUV, and he tries to turn it on, and nothing. Flips the radio on, nothing. Lights, nothing. So he pops the hood, and his battery's gone. So you think, holy Christ. So he has to go get a new battery and da-di-da-di-da. Well, he comes home about 2 weeks later. He pulls up his driveway, and there's an envelope left in his front door. And in that envelope, he finds a $50 bill, and he finds two tickets to go see the Colts play. Okay tickets, and the guy had written this letter. Says, I don't want to meet you in person because you'll probably want to kick my ass. But
I stole your battery?
Yeah, I stole your battery. I'm really sorry. It was an emergency. I want to make it up to you. I think $50 will about cover the cost of the battery. And for all the trouble that I put you through, here's a couple okay tickets to see the Colts. And the guy's thinking, man, the world ain't so damn bad. He said, I'll just take the wife to the football game. They go to the football game. They back the truck up his driveway and completely cleaned his house out.
Oh, no. You're kidding. That's a great story. Oh,
that is absolutely true.
Right, that's not an honest thief. That's a good thief, obviously. That's a creative thief.
Major haul. Jewelry, electronics, cash. Big
haul. Everything, really?
Yeah.
Well, how long ago was this? Was it Peyton the quarterback, or was it Andrew?
Yeah, it was Peyton. Yeah.
Peyton?
So, yeah, it was
you guys
Peyton.
You guys miss Peyton?
Well, we did it first.
But Andrew
left. But now we forgot about Peyton.
I know you guys did, didn't you?
Well, look how many years we had Peyton, and then...
Yeah, you get... I think we had the two best quarterbacks in the last 30 years now, probably. I think Andrew Luck's going to be the best quarterback in the NFL if he stays healthy for at least 10 years.
We hated him the other night. I mean, on Sunday Night Football.
You guys could have beat him, but you gave him a little 20-point start or 21-point start.
Yeah.
But Andrew Luck to quit. I mean, that comeback against the Chiefs was something to watch.
Oh, I'm telling you. And
he's 23 years old. He's something else.
He is, and we're going to have another 12 years of great football probably or more.
I think you are. I mean, he's something else. I mean, he's a good citizen. He's a good guy. He's a sweetheart. From what I see on television, I mean, but he seems to be the real McCoy.
We had a real major loss today, though. Robert Mathis has an Achilles injury that he suffered in training in Atlanta. He's out.
I heard he's out for the season.
Yep.
That's nice. He didn't have sacks. No, that's a big hit.
That's a big hit.
Yeah,
that's a big hit. But
he had 19 and a half sacks last year. I'm a big fan, you know, of the Colts.
You really are.
I like Peyton a lot, you know, and I like I really like Tony Dungy, and I liked Bob Sanders. I mean, I thought Sanders. I followed him at Iowa. I mean, I thought Sanders was probably the most intimidating defensive back. Since Jack Tatum, he couldn't stay healthy a lot, but I love those teams. And then I loved Luck at Stanford, and I know Jim Irsay from Alcoholics Anonymous. It's anonymous, whatever. I know Jim Irsay from sobriety.
Yeah.
And he's a really good guy.
He really is. He's quite the rock and roll fan.
I know. I've, 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 there's a meeting out here we go to on Monday night, and he would fly in for it because these two of these gentlemen here who work with people who have problems and stuff had worked with him, and he would come in every Monday for a number of years, and I thought he was a special guy and a really nice guy. And for a guy with that much money and grew up like that, he's a people's person and really down to earth. I really liked him. Really liked him.
You know, Tom.
I thought he handled the Peyton Manning thing as well as one could. I thought he handled both Peyton and Hersey handled it with as much dignity and as one could do it, because it was tough. I'm sure it was tough on Mr. Hersey to release Peyton Manning.
It was a blessing, though, that he finally happened.
It was a blessing to both parties, actually. It turned out to be great because they're both great guys.
Yeah,
it was a blessing for Peyton. Blessing for the Hersey's.
We have a bar here called the Blue Crew, and it was in financial straits. And good old Jim Irsay gave them $50,000 to get their act back together and get their business going again. I mean, that's just kind of the guy he is. I mean,
he can't be pulling up the money so they can stay in business.
Yep, he certainly did.
And he's a good guy.
He's just
a drop in the bucket for him, but it means everything to those other people. So the bar stayed in business.
Yeah,
that's great. That's a great story.
I have always had the opinion that he's very grounded, very grounded. And now I have that opinion of Tom Sizemore.
Oh, thanks, Larry. You're too nice.
I'm
super
serious.
Duper nice to me. I got to tell you, thank you so much for being so sweet. Thank you.
Well, you're a super spirit. I know this movie's just going to kick butt when it comes out. And you have an invitation that once it comes out, to have you come back on the program if you could find the time. We would appreciate it so much.
I'd love to, but maybe I could come to Indianapolis, maybe even come on the show live. Do you guys do that?
Well, this is done via all by phones. I mean, we've even had call-ins from Inc. We had, you remember the Kinks?
Of course, Ray Davies and Dave Davies.
Dave Davies has been on the program. Oh, we've had Tony Kaye from Yes. Oh, God, it just goes on and on. And we hit the jackpot tonight because I think tonight's program, this has just been stellar, and you've just been a fantastic person to talk to. God bless you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure for me, too.
Dr. Day, what a nice young man.
I get really nervous about doing stuff like this, and you put me at ease completely at the beginning. Yeah, I do.
Oh, my Lord. Well, you should.
And you put me completely at ease with that introduction. You put me completely at ease, and I want to thank you for that. It's been fun.
Well, tell Charles that now.
I will. I will tell him that.
Dr. Day, what a great gentleman we've had on the program tonight.
Well, we were excited about tonight's show, and it worked out perfectly.
Good. I'm glad. That was great for me, too.
So comfortable, and, yeah, really great show.
Thanks. It was great.
Tom, God bless you on the movie. When it does come out, if there's any way possible, we'd like to have you come back on the show. That would be absolutely wonderful.
I'd love to come back. Thanks for the invite. It was great talking to you. Take care. God bless you, too.
We need to wish Tom a happy birthday. He's got a birthday coming up towards the end of the month.
I do. I'm gonna be 30 now. I'm gonna be 39. Thank you for the birthday wish. I appreciate it very much.
Well, that's fantastic.
You guys take care now.
Same.
I'm 53. Take care and good. And
I still got you, Tom.
I love people in Indianapolis.
Well,
okay?
We will say hi. And we're going to
take
a short break. We've got a few jams we're going to play tonight. Folks, Tom Sizemore on Wild World. We'll be right back. Thank you, Tom.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Babson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to
stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
It's Bobcat Heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
This is Larry Batson. You have been listening to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. We've got some great tunes from guests that have been with us the last few weeks, and we hope you would hang around with us after an amazing interview with a celebrated actor, a star boy, a star, and what a nice guy, Tom Sizemore, with us tonight. It was absolutely fantastic. We also want to remind everyone, I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr. Day.
No, it was just great having Tom on. What a character.
Oh, my gosh. And what a sports fan. I mean, my Lord. And as always, let me cue this up properly. I want to remind everyone that you can listen to all the past shows here on Blog Talk Radio of Wild World. There's, gosh, believe it or not, I think about 208 programs with such great artists as Tom Sizemore, Bobby Caldwell, Johnny Winters, Rick Derringer from Johnny Winters, Tony Kaye from Yes, Chris France from Talking Heads, Al Jardine from the Beach Boys, Ray Davies from the Kinks, Jimmy Greenspoon from Three Dog Night, Rick Roberts from Fireball and the Burrito Brothers. It just goes on and on and on. Hours and hours of free downloads available. Go to our website, Wild World. Well, just simply Google Wild World Larry Batson, B-A-T-T-S-O-N. And they make it possible for us to be on Blog Talk Radio.
of 800-pound gorilla. The song is it, I Know. That particular week, Dr. Day was on expedition in Sumatra, and he was not able to be with us take in 800-pound gorilla. I believe you were looking for the perfect enchilada, Dr. Day.
That is true. That and on that wilderness trek, I was vacuumed by a wombat.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that wombats had strange vacuuming powers, but...
I didn't know. I didn't even know they were in Sumatra. So we had two things answered there. Well, gosh, but luckily your staff did protect you, I understand.
Yes, and you know what? I like 800-pound gorilla.
They're four young men from Bloomington, Indiana. They've got a new EP out, which we're going to be broadcasting in the next few weeks on some of our shows that we feature just the music from. And the saxophone player is a young man they just added, and he is absolutely fantastic, which has completely changed their sound. And I had an opportunity to see them at an event here in right outside, not within 20 miles of the animal compound this summer. And as soon as I could hear them, they were playing a lot of covers, too. They played The Doors. They played Talking Heads, Dr. Day.
Ooh.
Yes, and they did it with great dignity. And when I came around the corner, I'd been listening to this music for a little bit. I come around the corner to see who the musicians were, and they were all children. And immediately I talked to their manager and said, we have got to have them on our show, and they came on. Had a great time, and it's available on download. You can hear all the songs, and we're going to feature the EP in the next few weeks. Maybe have the boys back on. They're pretty busy. They're hard to get on the show, but hopefully do so. You know, last week we had one of the biggest shows we've had in quite some time with a very talented band called Audiodacity.
Yes, quite talented young men. Quite a lot of emotion in their music.
Oh, my God, it's such power. And so happens that one of the trumpet and guitarist is the son of a friend of mine I've known for many, many years. The musician's name is Cody Herring, and I invited him on the show, and they sent me their music. And I thought, these guys are going to go somewhere. It's going to be major. And one of my favorite songs on the songs that I had sent to me was something called Never Sober, which I'm afraid many actors and musicians have endured in their careers over the years. Here's Audiodacity from Indianapolis, not too far here from the compound, right next door to Dr. Day and his Wild World News headquarters. And the song, Never Sober. You got it, buddy.
Thank you.
Audacity. We're going to wind her down tonight. Dr. Day, what a wonderful show we had.
Great show.
Oh, my gosh. It's stellar. It was a pleasure to have Tom Sizemore on, and I hope the movie, when they finally get it, you know, it could be 2 or 3 years by the time they get the movie. It's a slow process. People don't understand what they've spent 4 years developing the script, so it's going to be a while. Next week on the show, we've got Bert Weisbaum and also Tom Murphy, one of the foremost wildlife authorities in Yellowstone National Park. And Bert has just written a new book. It's fiction. It's a murder mystery with the background of the largest park in North America. Or I shouldn't say North America, United States, because that would be the one in Alaska, which I'm having a brain fade right now. I can't think of the name of it. But
Denali.
Yeah, Denali, yeah. Thank you very much. I know why you're a doctor and I'm not. Hey, Dr. Day, have a great week.
Well, thank you. And it was great having Tom on tonight. Our listeners got to get a little insight to the inner Tom.
Yes, they did. And it was truly a phenomenal show, which we'll remember for a long time. Folks, have a great week. We'll see you on our regular time next Thursday right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.